So tracking that symptomology in this context will really help you hone in on where your problem may be. So we talked about the cephalic response, right? The smelling, the visual, the feeling the food, even if you're holding or touching it, all of those things prime numerous pre-digestion responses. Then the next part where food enters is into the mouth. The mouth plays a very important role because the mouth, the chewing action of the mouth, the mastication of the food breaks down the food and it increases the surface area of the food, which is critically important because most of the carbohydrates and proteins in the food are compacted and folded very intricately and create dense macromolecules. What you really want to do is start opening up those macromolecules and exposing more surface area for the digestive process, right? So that mastication by the chewing action is really important. And you really want to chew for 20 to 30 minutes per, sorry, 20 to 30 chews per bite. And it really helps you slow down your process. And that chewing action also coats that food with saliva. And you want an adequate coating of the food with saliva for a couple of reasons. Number one, in your saliva, you have an enzyme called amylase and you have lingual lipase. So your amylase and lipase enzymes that are in saliva will start to break down the carbohydrates and the fats that are in your food. You want the carbohydrate and fat breakdown to start to occur in the mouth. And we'll talk about why that's important. But generally, it's because those things take much longer to break down enzymatically than, say, proteins, right? So you want that to start in your mouth and during the swallowing process. And exposing the surface area of the food is really important for enzymes because enzymes work as a contact sport. So the more surface area of the carbohydrate or the more surface area of the fat that you've exposed, the more enzymes can latch onto it and break it down faster, right? So your amylase is doing that, and your lingual lipase is doing that really, really important function in breaking down those macromolecules starting in your mouth. The other important reason, the coating your food with saliva, is because in saliva you have secretory IgA, immunoglobulin A, which is a very important compound because it's doing two things, right? Oh, it's doing lots of things, but two things I really want to emphasize. The first thing it's doing that's really important is that it is neutralizing any potential toxins or microbes or anything that may be a problem for your system. It's neutralizing it in the mouth itself, right? This is why you have secretory IgA in your saliva, so that your saliva can be the first line of defense in neutralizing potential pathogens or toxins or viruses that are coming in through the food. So, but in order to do that, you have to have adequate time of chewing and adequate coating with your saliva in order for the IgA to find all of its targets. The other thing it does is when IgA coats some of the food antigens, like the proteins and other things that may be coming in with the food, it is allowing your immune system to not react in an inflammatory manner to those food antigens, right? So IgA coating these food antigens, and when I say food antigens, these are components of food that can trigger an immunological response in your system, including things like gluten and other peptides, right? These are immunogenic components of food, meaning they can trigger an inflammatory response or an intolerance response. What you really want is you want your immune system to learn to tolerate those foods so they don't trigger an immunological response when they enter your body. One of the key ways that that happens is these food antigens get hit or covered by secretory IgA. And then secretory IgA signals to the immune system that, hey, you don't need to pay attention to this. You don't need to react to it. It's perfectly safe. So negate that inflammatory response. This is called oral tolerance. This is arguably one of the most important things because if this system breaks down and you're not coating your food adequately in secretory IgA, or you're not making adequate secretory IgA that's getting out into your saliva and your mucin and all that, you will end up developing food sensitivities. You will lose oral tolerance. And once you reduce and end up with food sensitivities, you will reduce the diversity of food you can eat and end up with food sensitivities. You end up losing diversity in the gut microbiome because you lose diversity in your diet, right? So the secretory IgA component is really important. Now, the oral microbiome that's in sitting there in the mouth does a number of things to support the mouth in its role in digestion. So number one, we know that dysbiosis in the oral microbiome can lead things to can lead to digestive issues like SIBO, IBS, and other GI conditions. We know that the microbiome in the mouth communicates with and contributes to by producing metabolites in the mouth itself that go down and interact with the gut microbiome to prepare the gut microbiome for food that's coming in, right? We also know that the oral microbiome can enhance carbohydrate digestion by making amylase itself. And it breaks down sugars that may be in monosaccharide form, which can be harmful to your teeth and your buccal tissue in your mouth. It can break down and neutralize those sugars, and it can control the pH in your mouth as well. Controlling pH in the mouth is really important. You don't want your mouth to be acidic. You want your mouth to be closer to neutral because the amylase enzymes and the lipase enzymes that are so important to function in the mouth actually function in a neutral or near neutral pH. This is why acidic foods like sodas and things like that can really disrupt digestion, because the acid from those sodas and drinks and all that actually reduces the functionality of the amylase and lipase enzymes starting in the mouth, and then causes an issue of your teeth and your buccal tissue potentially getting harmed and decaying as a result of that acidity. So you do want a pH balance in your mouth. You want to drink water as much as you can with your meal versus acidic things like soda and juices. The water does not affect your pH in any negative way. And so these microbes that will produce alkaline substances to increase the pH if you're eating something that's acidic. So if you're eating, for example, a citrus fruit, to negate the effect of the citrus fruit, the citric acid that's in the food, your microbiome in your mouth will produce either ammonia, which will buffer the citric acid, or it'll produce an alkaline substance that'll buffer the pH of the citric acid to bring the mouth back to close to neutral, right? It's a really, really important role because it really impacts the accessibility of the food. And then it also controls the health of your oral cavity and the health of your teeth and gums and so on. It plays that role in this bioaccessibility and therefore transformation of nutrients during the digestive process. Now, some of these oral microbes can also form biofilms in the mouth that improve the integrity of the oral tissue, and it protects the teeth and the gums and all that from anything that could damage it that's coming through from the food. So the biofilms are actually a good thing. And they can produce all these metabolites, like I mentioned, the ammonia, the alkaline substances, to balance out the pH in the mouth. It produces nitric oxide, which is really important for immune function, but also for vasodilation and reducing blood pressure. And that vasodilation becomes really important for circulation. Circulation becomes really important for distributing the nutrients that you're absorbing in the small intestine throughout the body, right? So that nitric oxide is critically important that your oral microbiome is producing. And then it produces bacteriocins, which are antimicrobials to neutralize pathogens and so on, and short-chain fatty acids as well. You get some short-chain fatty acid production in the small bowel. A tiny, tiny amount can be produced in the mouth, but the vast majority of it's produced in the large intestine. But all of these metabolites and all that that the oral microbiome produces are just generally good for digestion. They protect the system, they modulate immune response, they provide tolerance, and they allow the system to function the way they're supposed to. So you can easily see that if you have a dysbiotic oral microbiome, you can have significant issues with digestion. You may not relate the two, but they are absolutely related. So this is where the signs and symptoms come in. So if you have a disruption to your cephalic response and you have poor meal hygiene and or mouth or oral microbiome, here are some of the symptoms that you may encounter. You may have bloating and gas because you're not breaking down the food appropriately. You might have heartburn and reflux because of a pH issue, because you're not releasing enough hydrochloric acid. Your cephalic response is not causing the vagus nerve to upregulate HCl production. You could have indigestion and feeling of fullness too quickly, nutrient deficiencies and anemia, chronic bad breath, undigested food, and so on. So just look at these symptoms and kind of tick off any that may apply to your condition. And when you collate all of the ticks at the end, it'll kind of help you hone in on where your problem may be, right?